Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Mary Meyer. Good morning, Mary.
Denny, good morning. Great to hear your voice. Happy spring. I have flowers blooming in my yard.
You're kidding. That's, well, you know, I was looking.
Spring crocus are up.
Well, outstanding. I was looking at my boxwoods, and I thought, wait a minute, they look like they're sprouting, they're growing. Could that be?
Probably not growing yet, but that's a good sign that they're nice and green in color. So we had a milder winter, and when we did have those cold temperatures, we had good snow cover. So I don't expect too much winter injury this spring, but it's a good sign for the boxwood. Good.
Yes, absolutely. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. We call it Smart Garden, and thanks to the help like from folks Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota helping you out, answering your lawn and garden questions. And if you're familiar with the show, you know we tend to get very busy. So if you have a question, that type, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. That's the phone number. It's also the text number. And Mary, we already have a bunch of texts. So let's get to it. Let's see. Here's one. It says, I'm going to be expanding my in-ground garden by an extra 200 square feet and would like to use the sod in another area of my yard. When can I cut the sod and transplant it?
Well, it's a little too early to do that now, but I would say early spring is obviously you want to do this so you can get your garden in. But I would say about the middle of April, so a couple more weeks, you could do this. You want to get a nice chunk of roots when you do that and cut a good chunk of the sod as much as possible, keep the soil intact. And then you have to really pay attention to watering that after you move it. You'll probably need to make a depression where you want to put the sod in the new location. You can't just lay it on top of the ground because it needs to have the roots down in the ground.
Yeah, that makes sense. Here is another lawn question. Is it too early to fertilize the lawn?
Yeah, it's pretty early to fertilize. You know, our soil temperature for most areas is still hovering right around 40 degrees, and that is too cool for much to happen. We want to have warmer temperatures so that the fertilizer is actually taken up by the plants. So I would hold off until at least a week, but maybe 2 weeks to do that.
All right, that makes sense. What about our gardens? Is there something we can do now at this time of the year, this beginning spring?
As far as vegetable gardens go, many people are starting their seeds indoors. We have a nice chart online on the website about what seeds to start, and pretty much everything you could have started at this point. Tomatoes are the one thing. They grow quite quickly, but by next week you can be starting tomatoes. But in your vegetable garden outside, it's a little too early yet to do much of anything because most people, even though we are on pretty dry conditions, most soil is still too wet to be worked.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call from Ken, who is calling in from Blaine, I think, this morning. Ken, you're on with Mary.
Yes. Good morning. I have a question on, I have a flower garden that has a lot of spring blooming flowers like crocus and grape hyacinth and tulips, daffodils. Wildflower tulips. Is it too early to remove the leaf covering? I want to do it before they start really coming up. Otherwise, I've learned from experience that if they're starting to come up and I'm raking the leaf mulch off, I'd start to damage the flowers themselves.
Yes, Ken, that's right. I have taken just a little bit off of my spring flowering bulb. You're right. Some of the tulips are up 6 inches already. That's because we did not have much frost in the soil this past winter. So certainly any area that has ice still in it or snow, too early on that, because you just end up tearing the plants apart when you take up any that has ice in it. But you can carefully remove them. You can kind of see a hump underneath the leaves where they're starting to come up. I would partially remove some of it if you can see growth pushing up like that. I am going to wait one more week to do a major removal of leaves. We, you know, if it gets to 32 degrees, that's not a problem. 25 degrees can really damage new things coming up in the spring. So I think if we wait one more week, we'll be pretty much out of that window of low 20 temperatures.
Yes, Mary, I was looking at the forecast, as we always do here on CCO, and again, Monday, we could get near 71 for a daytime high. However, 2 days later, Wednesday, our daytime high might reach 39. So we're still, as they say, not out of the woods quite yet. Here's a text that says, I have Carl Foster Reed grass. Should I cut it down now, and how much do I cut off?
Yes, this is a great thing you can be doing right now. So you can cut it down to the ground, as low as you can cut it with hand shears. I watched a video yesterday of somebody using a hand saw, just a little, sickle-like saw, cutting back grasses, because they will grow totally from the base again this year. And one of my neighbors said, well, will they get as tall? And yes, they will. They grow from the base again this year. And one of my neighbors said, well, will they get as tall? And yes, they will. They grow from the base each year. So if it's 3 feet tall this year, like Carl Forster is, it'll grow up 3 to 4 feet again. So you remove the dead tops right now.
Very good. Back to the phones. Lois is calling from Minneapolis this morning to ask you a question. Lois, good morning.
Good morning. My lawn service called and want to do an application on Monday. Is it too early?
Yeah. You know, what makes me nervous about applying fertilizer now is that it won't stay on the soil and go in, that it will run off because the plants are not actively growing yet. So I wait until the plants are actively growing to put the fertilizer on. And I know, yes, a lot of lawn services are ready to go. The frost is pretty much gone from the soil, so a lot of them are anxious to get going. But I think waiting another week or 10 days is better.
Very good. Mary, we need to take a quick break, inviting our listeners to call in your garden, lawn, or garden question, or to send a text, same number, 651-989-9226. 39 degrees here in the Twin Cities. We're heading for 49 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, helping you out today with your lawn and garden questions. We're going to get back to the phones, Mary, but an interesting text came in a bit ago, and it says this: enjoy listening from Central Illinois. Well, thank you for that. This texter says, we have a peach tree that has buds that are beginning to open. Our forecast for this week there in Central Illinois is a low of 25. Should we cover the tree with sheets that night?
I'm not sure sheets are going to protect that from 25 degrees. That is right about on the money. It's 26, 27 where the flower buds are killed. And so this is the reason we don't have success with peaches this far north, because it's springtime. Frost will often kill the flower buds. The flower buds of the peach come out quite early, and we just have such a good chance of frost at that time. We have hardy varieties of apricots that they have the less chance of being of the flowers being killed, and those are a better chance. I have eaten peaches grown in Minnesota. It is possible, but it is very difficult. You could try putting the sheets on. That might help, but I guess, yeah, as long as it's temporary, it's just for a few hours, you could try the sheets. I doubt if that's going to really work.
Okay. Back to the phones we go, Mary. Miller's calling in from Golden Valley this morning. Miller, you're on with Mary Meyer.
Good morning. You already answered my question about uncovering my tulips a little bit, but I had a question of lamb's ear. We put in a lamb's ear last year, first time we have ever had it, and now that it's uncovering, it's still all there. Is new growth going to come, or is this, what's going to happen to it?
Yeah, lamb's ear is kind of a semi-evergreen, and and see some nice growth on that. Depends a lot on the winter conditions and how protected it was in the winter. It's usually about half and half. About half of that foliage will stay there, but yes, new growth will start coming on it and look good. Lamb's ear is a really tough perennial. It's very good for dry conditions, has some shade tolerance, low growing. So you made a good choice. That should live for quite a while for you.
All right, very good. Thank you. Pat is calling in from Arden Hills this morning with a question. Go ahead, Pat. Mary's listening.
Hi. I'm wondering when I should put pre-emergent down on the grass.
Yes, right. I was just looking at where we are with that, with the soil temperatures. We are not yet in our target zone area for pre-emergence to work, but it's coming. All of the state of Iowa is in the right temperature, but just a little bit of southern Minnesota is. So it looks like we're going to get about the target about April 5th or 6th this year. And there is just a window of when pre-emergence will work for crabgrass. And so you need to get it down beforehand. So I would wait another week, maybe 10 days, and then I think you should be in good shape.
Okay, very good. If you want to call in your lawn or garden question or send a text, same number, 651-989-9226. Listener wants to know, Mary, what does it mean when a plant, quote, fixes nitrogen? Could that ever be a bad thing?
It's a great thing. This is the ability that some of our, mostly in the legume family, can take atmospheric nitrogen and convert it into a form that the plant can take up. So it is not dependent on anybody else giving it the nitrogen. So our legumes like clovers, alfalfa, are very good at doing this. And they can actually then, as the plant decays and the roots die, that nitrogen is then available to other plants. So that is why farmers rotate alfalfa with corn. Soybeans also can do that because they're in the legume family. And then in our lawns, if we use clover and so on, that will be an additional source of nitrogen. So fixing nitrogen is a great characteristic, but not all plants can do that.
Speaking of lawns, Mary, there's a great resource in the University, of course, it's a great resource anyway, the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu, about working and keeping. There's kind of a series of information about lawns, right?
Right. Julie Weisenhorn has done a great job putting up a calendar for what to do when on your lawn. So it's really good to look at the whole year as far as the best time to do things. So that, yeah, that is a great resource. We have a new extension educator, Maggie Reuter, who's fabulous. She might be on the show pretty soon. We probably should get Maggie in here answering all the lawn questions that are going to be coming up. So she's a graduate from the U, and she's come back to work in extension. So that's a great new resource.
Let's introduce her to our listeners. That's a great idea. This listener wants to know, Mary, other than fencing, what's the best rabbit deterrent to use in their perennial garden?
Well, fencing is good. You can try some repellents. There are a number of repellents for rabbits, some based on odor, but fencing is really the best thing to use. I would go first with fencing. Any mechanical barrier is great, and then really try to place plants that are not so so much favorites of rabbits. Some people interplant good rabbit loving with rabbit hating plants, so try to fool the rabbits that way. It's very difficult. I personally have found that if I don't have some type of physical barrier, it is extremely difficult to control rabbits.
Yeah, that's for sure. This texter says this, Mary, when can I start pruning my roses and currant bushes?
Roses and currants. You could prune your roses right now. You pretty much can see what's dead and alive on that, and hopefully the rabbits have not eaten those down and removed a lot of the bark on them. But the roses will show pretty much brown, brittle stems versus the green lower down. So you can prune them right now. And currants is the same thing. You can see what's dead and alive on that as well. Maybe thin those out. They tend to grow quite bushy. So you could cut off some of the currants at the base and some back one-third of the height in the tips.
Okay. Mary, we need to take a look at that forecast. And our bottom of the hour break as usual. So hang on. We have another half hour of the show to go. For your lawn or garden questions, call us or text us, same number, 651-989-9226. Looks like a rainy day here in the Twin Cities. We'll take a look at that forecast in a moment. Here on News Talk A3O, this is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long on this end with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, helping you out with your lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text, as usual. Call us or text us, 651-989-9226. Mary, just a ton of text messages, and I don't want to short-circuit these folks here. Again, if we miss a few, and I presume we will, we'll start the show next week with some of the ones we didn't get to. Let's see. How do you, texter says, get a fuchsia plant ready to put out in spring?
Fuchsia is a great house plant, and it actually has a long, it can be a long-lived perennial outdoors in more tropical, well, actually not so much tropical climates, just milder than Minnesota. So I would say, there's not too much that you need to do. Hopefully you've been growing it in bright sunlight, so it has good light conditions. I would just, when I put my plants outside in the spring, I put them in the shade. Make sure that you don't put it in direct sunlight. You know, that's like giving a plant a sunburn all of a sudden. So gradually get it used to the brighter light conditions that are outdoors. If you have a three-season porch or a porch area where you can put it first, and then just gradually get it used to better light conditions. Full sun might be okay for it eventually through the summer, but, you know, maybe a half a day sun is probably perfect.
Okay. Mary, this listener wants to know, how warm does the soil need to be before applying mulch to raspberries?
The mulch to raspberries, so it doesn't really matter. Well, let me say this way. The mulch is going to moderate the soil temperature. So if it's 30 degrees when you put the mulch on, it's going to take it longer for that soil to warm up in the springtime. So right now. So if you put a mulch on raspberries right now, that's okay. Most of the time we're using mulch to conserve moisture, to prevent weeds from growing. And so you can put it on now if you have it, but the soil will warm up slower there. The raspberries might be slower to start. So how warm does it have to be? If you wait till closer to the 1st of May to put it on, then I don't think you'll delay any start in the spring.
You know, Mary, what you and your colleagues talk about once in a while is getting your soil tested. And we can do that through the U of M. Now, what's the process, and can we do that now, or do we have to wait a while?
Yes, this is a great time to do soil testing. The lab gets busy in the spring, so there's less of a delay in getting your answer back. There's a nice video online if you search extension.umn.edu, and then in the search box put soil test. It will show you, there's a nice video of how to take the soil, how to collect the soil, mix it up, and send it in for the soil test. So you can request a mailing envelope to put the soil in and mail it back. You can take it directly over to St. Paul as well to have the soil tested. But this will tell you pH and your nutrient level, phosphorus and potassium, also how much organic matter is in your soil. So it's a great idea to have a soil test. The spring time is a great time to be doing this. And it's not something that you need to do every year, but every few years, especially in areas where you have regular production, like your vegetable garden, it's a good idea to do it every 5 years or so.
All right, very good. This listener says, we tapped our silver maples for sap for syrup by drilling holes about 3 inches into the trunks. Well, now that we're finished, how should those holes be treated? Thanks very much for that.
You don't need to really do anything to the holes. The tree will close off on its own. The sap run is right now in the spring, and then it stops normally. It doesn't, it isn't always coming out as much as it is right now in the spring. So, that will stop on its own, and the plant will be just fine. You know, today is the Maple Fest out at the Arboretum. It is sold out for takeout, pancakes. We normally have had our pancake brunch there, but also the Arboretum has online a nice book that's free, and you can look at it, read it, and look at it on tapping maple trees and the story behind how to and tapping maple trees.
You know, a lot of people have gotten interest in that. I even see it in the neighborhood. It's amazing.
It's a big job. It is a big job. So you cannot boil the sap down inside your home. Do not try to do that. You really have to do the boil outside because there's so much volume of water that has got to come out of that sap. But then you can finish it indoors.
Yes, it's a labor of love for sure.
Yes.
This listener says, I have a small poinsettia plant I received just before Thanksgiving. It is still growing strong. It has only dropped 3 leaves in all this time. What to do with it? Repot, or what do you think?
You probably don't need to repot it, but good for you in keeping it that healthy. Poinsettias need a lot of water and they need good light conditions. You can actually take that outside and grow it outside. Some people even plant it outside. Of course, it doesn't do well in our climate because it needs a frost-free growing area to really grow as a shrub, which it does in Mexico, where it's native. But I would keep giving it as good light as possible. And if it gets a lot bigger, then you can consider repotting it. It's a short day plant, so it's only going to flower again when it's exposed to short days.
Okay. This texter says that last fall, they and their neighbors had an infestation of grubs in the front yards. They ate the roots of the grass we planted in the spring, and right now I see crows digging in my front yard. Does that mean the crows are eating the grubs?
They might be. It's really fun to watch crows. They're quite a social group, and they can do some really amazing things. It's possible they're eating grubs. You can dig around yourself and take about a square foot area, move back the sod that's there, and look and see if you can see the grubs. They go deeper in the soil in the cooler weather, but then they come up near. You should find some in the top 6 inches. It's probably a good idea to do some inspection. That way you'll know how many are actually there, and then you can determine whether or not you need to treat the soil to get rid of the grubs. So we have information on that on the website of how to look for them and the number you need to find in order before you actually do a treatment. But we certainly recommend that you determine you've got that many grubs before you use any chemical controls.
Again, that's extension.umn.edu. Great resource. This listener, Mary, wants to know when to remove mulch from perennial flowers.
I'm waiting one more week. I know it's very tempting to do it now, and on Monday a lot of people will be thinking about doing it when it's going to get warmer, but I am going to wait one more week. If you have a really thick, heavy mulch, you could take part of it off. And if you see perennials like your tulips and so on pushing up and they're growing, you can partially take some of it off. But I'm going to wait one more week to do a cleanup.
All right. This listener wants to know, when's a good time to prune red dogwood?
You can prune red dogwoods right now. The red dogwood, the red part, the beautiful part in the stem, is usually the newer growth. Some people, and especially in botanic gardens, they actually prune red dogwoods regularly, so they have that fresh new growth that will come on in the spring. So I look at mine and I take off anything that's brown, the older stems, and then the new growth will come up and look good. So through the wintertime, early spring, you can do that pruning.
All right, Mary, this tester says, thank you for your show. When is the best time to plant climbing roses in southern Minnesota?
In the springtime is a good time to do that. The biggest rose we have that's quite hardy is the William Baffin. This William Baffin is a great, big, tough rose. If you want a large plant, big plant, you know, 6-8 feet tall, William Baffin is always the one I recommend. There are other climbing roses, John Davis, John Cabot. There is the Explorer series that are hardy that came out of Canada. But the kind of rose is really important because Minnesota, not all the climbers that you see advertised are hardy in Minnesota.
All right. I'm getting signals, Mary. We need to take a quick break. So let's do that and come back with more questions. Lawn and Garden Type, 651-989-9226. The phone number, also the text number. We'll come back with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota and your questions here on A Smart Garden Show. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Smart Garden on the air every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, and thanks to folks like Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota helping you out this morning by phone and by text as usual. And Mary, here's a listener that's in, I'm not sure what type of applications, but they say they're looking for a new lawn service. One company is suggesting 7 applications, and their question is that a good amount? But we don't know what kind of applications they're talking about.
Yes, it's you, and you can certainly find that out. You can ask them. It's probably a combination. It's probably some fertilizer, some pre-emergence weed control, some post-emergence broadleaf weed control, and a couple of fertilizers. But you can certainly ask them and find that out. You could also compare what their recommendations are to our lawn care calendar that's online as well. And then, yes, it does also depend on what your standards are and what type of grass you have. If you want a high-maintenance lawn, if you have one of the elite Kentucky bluegrasses and you have an irrigation system on, then that usually requires more inputs. If you don't have an irrigation system, you have a fescue or a bee lawn, that requires much less input.
And I don't remember this particular episode here. A few weeks ago, a texter says, we talked about a product to put around, I think they mean hostas, to keep rabbits and other animals. It sounded like sludge. Does that ring a bell with you, Mary? I assume they mean hostas. They're saying hostas, but I think they mean
hostas.
Yeah,
they probably mean hostas because slugs love hostas. The one of the best barriers for slugs is diatomaceous earth, which is ground up seashells. So coarse sand, anything that makes an abrasive barrier, slugs do not like that. They like soft things, mulches and so on, but coarse sand or diatomaceous earth that you can buy does repel slugs because it cuts them because they don't like crawling across that. And then there are some hostas that are less desirable for slugs. The tougher, thicker leaves usually have less less slug damage.
All right. This listener said, I ordered perennials this winter online. They were supposed to ship in the beginning of May. I received a text notification that some have already shipped. I bought a bunch. What do I do with them? They are bare root.
Yes, I was going to guess they're probably going to come in bare root. So this means they have no soil on the roots. So they're probably going to be wrapped in some type of moss or packaging that holds quite a bit of moisture, and that is good. I would keep them in a cool place, like your refrigerator or an unheated garage, and I would plant them as soon as you can. Now, if they're bare root, they're pretty much totally dormant. So what you're going to get is going to look like a lot of root and not much shoot on it, and that's okay. The frost is gone from the soil, but soil is really cold. But I would try to plant them within a week of when you receive them, and they will be okay as long as they are totally dormant, but you don't want to risk them drying out, so you do want to plant them.
Okay. 651-989-9226 is the phone number, also the text number. This listener says, are there beneficial insects that overwinter in a garden soil like bees? I heard that's why you should not work in your garden too early in the spring.
Yes, there are beneficial insects, and we often forget about those or don't see them. But they are the good insects are here along with the ones that do a lot of damage to our plants as well. But they come out pretty much at the same time. Insects will come out depending on the temperatures and weather conditions. So they will be coming out together. The best thing I would recommend is that you identify all insects that you see. Once you know what the insect is, then you can determine if it's a good insect, a bad insect, if it's a larval stage, you know, a half-grown insect or whatever. So identification is really the way to really learn what's what. And we have lots of information on that at the website, extension.umn.edu. What insect is this? Taking a picture of it, you can always look to match it up or send it into the Ask a Master Gardener line.
Okay. This text says, good morning, we enjoy the show. We have two Blue Arrow spruces, each about 15 feet tall, that have outgrown their locations. Can they be transplanted?
15 feet tall. Probably only with one of those gigantic tree spades that you see on the back of huge, big vehicles. That's about the only way I would think of doing the tree that is that tall.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Here's one. Let's see. Do we have time? Yes. A white potentilla, 2x2. Should we give them a big haircut?
Yes, I would definitely give the potentillas a haircut. They get to be kind of irregular shrubs. So giving them a haircut is a good idea. And you could do that right now.
Right now. That was their next question, is when. All right, here's one. It says, is it safe to do light raking to gather up sticks? We had trees taken down over the winter.
You could do that as long as the soil is not wet. You know, walking on it and it's spongy, squishy. Are your feet getting wet? Are the bottom of your shoes getting wet? If it's wet, you should really be off the soil. But if you can walk on it and it's dry, if things are starting to blow around, you see leaves blowing off your lawn and so on, once it's dry, you can do the raking.
Okay. Trying to get in as many text messages as we can this morning, Mary. Here's one that says, can I still trim my vanilla strawberry hydrangeas?
Yes. I have a vanilla strawberry hydrangea, and yes, you can prune that now if you want to. Usually I just prune off the old flowers that are on it, but this is a good time to do that, yes.
Okay, you know, we have about a minute or so to go. Let's see if I can, all right, here's one we can do quickly. I put down grass seed over the whole lawn last fall just before the snow. How do I handle things this spring regarding pre-emergence, fertilizing, etc.?
So you can't put on pre-emergence weed control if you're hoping to have grass seed come up. It's you do one or the other. So you've already sowed your grass seed, so your pre-emergent is going to have to wait until another year. So you can do fertilizer, and that won't harm anything. But the limiting factor now will be the temperature and moisture for that seed to actually come up.
All right. Again, we were just about out of time, Mary, and thanks for your help this morning. Let's give the folks again that great University of Minnesota website, shall we?
Yes, the website is extension.umn.edu, and then you can click on Yard and Garden. You can find all your answers there to questions. You can look up what weed is this, what insect is this, and then arboretum. We didn't talk much about the arboretum, but there's always, you just need a reservation to go out there. There's plenty of reservations for today, tomorrow, et cetera. Great place to go out and see the first flowers of spring, the
Absolutely.
Snowdrops and crocus.
Right. And bring family and friends, a great location. Mary, thank you so much again for all your good help. We'll talk to you soon, huh?
Always a pleasure, Denny.
Thank you. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. In the meantime, get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lynn is answering those next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Currently, 39 degrees.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.